In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. On Wednesday, for those who came to the Ash Wednesday service, and by the way, if you were a Roman Catholic, you would be required to come, because it's what's called a service of obligation. And for those who came, both at the 9:30 service and then at 7:30 on the evening, we ashed people and reminded them that you are dust. And it's a wonderful service because it reminds us of our vulnerability and our mortality. Most of us here daily, we get older. And one of the best things we can decide on in life is ultimately, what do we worship? What do we worship? And what is finally the most important thing in our life? And that's why Lent is so important, because it encourages us to strip away, take away all those things that are props in our life. And by the way, some of those props are very important. Family life. It's important, but it's not finally all important. Money, important. We need to earn a living, but it's not all important. Things. Those things that occupy our life that we chase after for all of our days. And then ultimately we have to give them up because you can't take it with you. Important, but not all important. And the place that we finally really ultimately come to terms with what's real and what's important is the wilderness. What do I mean by that? You see, for me, for a very long time, my job was very, very important to me. I actually defined myself by the money I earned, which was quite considerable, and the title that I had with the organization that I work for. And then one day, that job was taken away from me. And I hadn't realized, actually, in my 40s, that my life was defined by my work, and literally my world fell apart. It was only also at the same time that I lost my father. It came together. So for months without work, without my dad, my world fell apart, and I went into a deep depression. Let's call it a dark place, a wilderness. But the value of that place for me was it made me decide really what was most important. What did I ultimately worship? And I came back to God through that experience. Our country at the moment is in a wilderness. Indecision, unemployment, low productivity, the things that are happening with the royal family. Andrew Mountbatten today, if there's ever a person who's in a wilderness today, he's in a wilderness. And one of these things that they can tear us apart. Now, there are people here who have gone through significant loss, a wilderness. The breakup of a marriage, a wilderness. The loss of a significant partner, what a wilderness. Significant decline in health and uncertainty and just getting older, what a wilderness. A wilderness from my family this last year. I haven't shared this with you, but I'm going to share it today because it's real for us. For the last year, for 14 plus months, we've had the wilderness of trying to get our home back. Because the person who was living there, we gave notice, we were desperate for them to go, We've been tried to be as supportive as possible. And the stress of not knowing whether or not you're going to get your home back that you've paid for and worked for months and months, years. And the uncertainty that surrounds it, particularly when we've got young grandchildren living with us. And it will culminate this Tuesday when we will finally present them with a court order to leave. And we don't know whether they will leave. And we might have to ask bailiffs to come and ask them to evict them. How sad. I tell you, this last year for us, even though we've tried to carry the ministry here, what a wilderness for us. But what it's done is that it's made me pray more. It's made me learn to trust God more. It's made me go back to define what is really the most important and ultimately, where does my security lie? And this is the great temptation for Jesus, a wilderness. So listen today, if you are in a wilderness here, if you are struggling at the moment and the props of your life are being taken away, it might just be getting old and coming to terms with that. It might be real significant loss. Who knows? The struggle that you've got at home. Major challenges with health. Let me ask you in this difficult place, what can you learn from it? And how ultimately do you define yourself? What are the props that you depend on, which are actually often idols in our life that will give us security for a time, but ultimately you have to decide, what do you worship? You see, everybody today, wherever they are in the whole of our parish, shopping at Sainsbury's or at the business park here, walking their dog in the park, at home maybe still in bed, every single person worships something or someone. And the Christian call during Lent is, in the place of testing, who ultimately are you? And what is your purpose in this life? And what do you rely on? And what ultimately gives you hope? And then things get stripped away. Job loss, relationship, health, age, retirement, job, all sorts of things. And all the time the call is, what do you worship? 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 The wilderness. I want us to turn here to this little booklet. Can you take it? And I'm going to finish with this. The challenge for Jesus, very beginning of the booklet, here it is. Take this and read it because it's deeply profound. It's not just written by me, it's written by a wonderful Roman Catholic priest called André Noël. He says the great challenges for Jesus and his ministry was whether he was to be popular, successful, or powerful. The great temptations for Jesus was to be popular or successful or powerful. And I'm going to read it, and you can read it and reflect on it. Take it with you. Temptation number one, turn stones to bread. Be popular, says the devil. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Prove your usefulness. Try and meet every need. Be indispensable. Win approval, Jesus, by solving other people's problems. What is that for us? For you? It is the pressure constantly to be admired because you are useful. You are useful and therefore you are important. Popularity. Jesus says, I am not what I produce. I am not what people need me to be. He answers that life is sustained by God's word, not by human approval. Many people here have spent most of your life seeking other people's approval for who you are. It's your popularity that has defined you, but it is not who you are. Second temptation. Jesus, throw yourself down from the temple. Be spectacular and successful. The devil invites Jesus to leap from the temple so angels will save him. This is the temptation, the desire to impress, the temptation for constant attention, the need to be noticed and valued. For me, it's a temptation to build a ministry or a life on dramatic impact and visible results. Today, it looks like measuring your worth by numbers, needing people's constant applause, constantly seeking approval and recognition. Jesus refuses to manipulate God or perform for an audience. How much of your life has been constantly seeking others' approval? Perhaps since you were a child, the desire deeply to be successful. By the way, some cultures are very strong on this. You are what you've done at school. You are the job that you do. You are the results that you've got. You are the money that you've got in the bank. The desire to be successful and constantly be approved of. What a temptation. But it's not who you are, Jesus. And then the third temptation. All the kingdoms of the world I will give you. This is the temptation to be powerful. We know some modern people in the news whose obsession is power. The devil offers Jesus authority over all kingdoms in exchange for worship. And this is the great seduction of wanting control over others. We often do this. But it comes with influence without suffering. And it's leadership without any vulnerability. It's a temptation to choose domination over love. Jesus rejects political power gained through compromise and chooses the path of humility and the cross instead. So today, what rocks your boat? Are you committed deep down to popularity, to success, or power? Or maybe it's a mixture of all of them, but it's not who you are. These three temptations correspond to three common identities. Here it is. I am what I do. I am what others say about me. I am what I have. But Jesus' true identity and your true identity is that you are a child of God. You are beloved son and daughter that was declared to you at your baptism as it was at Jesus. The wilderness is where we confront these false identities and rediscover our identity as the beloved of God. Now, if you have any desire to move on in the Christian life and in your journey, and you reflect deeply on these things, it is deeply profound. Wonderful words from André now, and take it and read it as we go into this Lent. And as I say, if you did not come on Wednesday to be ashed, I'll be delighted to do that later for you. Whatever your wilderness today is, what are you worshipping? Where are your props? And if they're removed, what does that mean for you? It's an important lesson, the wilderness. Amen.
Let us pray. We pray, Lord, as we begin this Lent, that you help us to have honest, humble, and penitent hearts. Help us to get to know ourselves better, and give us the strength and will to acknowledge those unexpected sins and our weak spots. Help us to achieve self-control and to reorder our lives, to give us space and time to be with you, Lord, and make us more ready and energetic to be of service to others. We pray for courage and humility as we walk through the wilderness with you, as we follow you on your path to the cross, so that we too may experience the glory of your victory over sin and death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, hear us when we ask you to forgive our impatience and our intolerance of those around us. Stop us from putting partitions between our own lives and those of others. Give us the courage to see how difficult life is for some around us, and keep us from daydreaming the world to rights without acting on what we see. We remember especially in our prayers today victims of abuse. Heavenly Father, who loves and cares for all your people, we entrust to you the many children and vulnerable adults who have been abused in any way, and whose trust and innocence have been destroyed. We pray that those close to them may hear their cries of pain, and that within their communities and families they may find understanding and support, so that with the help of your grace their wounds may be healed, and that they may know again peace in their lives. Lord, how tolerant you were with people who were slow to understand you. How patient you were, caring more about others' good than your own. Help us to follow your example, Lord, every day of our lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, we pray for our country, remembering especially our royal family at this difficult time. Father, it is your wish for us all to live in harmony and peace, and yet we are aware of so many divisions, quarrels, hatreds, and injustices in our families and in the wider world. We pray for the people of Jerusalem and Gaza, for the thousands without homes in the Ukraine. And we pray for a resolution of the conflict in Iran. Loving God, we pray for the leaders of all nations. Grant them the wisdom to make decisions that promote peace, justice, and the well-being of all people. We pray that they act with integrity, keeping the needs of the poor, weak, and vulnerable at the heart of their policies. O God of all hope and peace, we bring to you the needs of our broken and hurting world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, teach us this Lent to be honest about ourselves. Let us realize how insensitive and uncaring we can be to those who are less physically able. Let us remember especially those who have become frail and weak, those whose eyesight is failing, those who find it difficult to hear. We think of those who are lonely, with many memories, but few friends to fill the long hours of the day. Those who must have things done for them, when they wish so much that they could still do them for themselves. Those who are living in hospitals or homes. Teach us to be watchful of their needs and patient with their frailty and slowness, loving and serving them as honoured members of your family. We pray for those known to us who are sick. Earl Adams, Pam and Fred Archer, Elizabeth Bellow, Daryl Campbell, Rosemary Cox, Noel Stephen, Elizabeth Francis, Malcolm George, Joyce Nicolay, Sue Nichols, Pam Story, Marion Twentyman, Martin Vowles, Clive Williams, Callum Williams, and Angela Zadurian. We especially remember today the families and friends of Ted St. Pierre, Vasily Timis, John and Joan Hart, and Trevor Wilson, whose memorial roses will be blessed after this service. And also those whose anniversaries occur at this time, Anne Bendel, Ray Cunningham, Doris Lonsdale, Iris Morris, Betty Williams, and Daphne Dyer. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray that through this Lent, we make time and space to spend with you, Heavenly Father, so that by prayer and fasting, listening and serving, and getting to know ourselves better, we may know more clearly how you want us to live our lives. Help us this Lent, Lord, not to do extraordinary things, but to get the ordinary things right. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers
for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.